News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 4:36 p.m. on Tuesday afternoon. And some of you guys already have your car keys in your hands. I know you do. You're thinking about going home. You're thinking about, okay, what am I doing for dinner? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you might want to consider Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison and one on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. I've been to both. Both are great. Both have great locations. They're easy access. And I'm just telling you right now, the menu there is way beyond coffee. Now, do they have coffee? Oh, yeah. They got the best coffees. I mean, they've got all of the best brews. They've got all the best of gourmet coffees. They've got, you know, of course, the usual drip coffees. They got hand brews. They've got red eyes. They've got cold brews like, you know, their black cold, their nitro, their frappes. They've got teas. They've got any number of things like that. But then they've got their breakfast, lunch, and dinner menu. By the way, I don't know if y'all are like Charlene and I, but sometimes we like breakfast for dinner. And you want it, you can get it at Just Love Coffee Cafe. You might even go online, check out their website, order it, pick it up on the way home. I'm just telling you, Just Love Coffee Cafe, so worth doing. Love eating there. And it's open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Great places to hang out. Just Love Coffee Cafe, Hughes Road in Madison, South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Hey, I see I got a caller on line three. Oh, it's Kirby from Harvest. Hey, Kirby, Phil Williams on Right Side. How are you today, man?
Oh, I'm doing fine, staying warm. And I just had a few comments about two topics y'all have talked about that I'm just going to throw them out. This is for people to think about. This is about the school systems and the money for the school systems.
Right.
My sister and I are from Birmingham, and we have both, all of our adult lives, paid taxes to support the schools. We've never been married. I've never had any kids. My sister, Catherine, has never had any kids. That's one thought. Another thought is my homeschooling friends. You know, from the ones that have a small number of kids all the way up to Kendrick and Tiffany, who have 10 kids, have always said, why don't they let us have vouchers to buy books? And, you know, they have, when they homeschool, they have to buy all these materials that they would normally, the school system would supply. Why don't they get vouchers? And on our president, Joe Biden, I never hear anybody make a remark like this. Who's, you know, people want to know why Joe Biden is saying this and that. Who's the guy on the other end of the teleprompter? Somebody please ask that question, because that might have something to do with it. You know, when he first started coming out, he never could speak too well. In fact, I remember helping take care of my dad, a retired band director from Birmingham, when he got that way. You know, they couldn't concentrate on the subject or anything, and so...
Yeah.
Why doesn't somebody look into that? I bet that might have something to do with these policies that are coming out.
I would not be a bit surprised, Kirby. And thanks for the call, as always. And Kirby made several points there. Number one, on school choice, the issue of vouchers. Yes, and in fact, we've got situations right now where things like West Virginia just passed the most comprehensive open enrollment bill, which some would call a voucher bill. What it basically means is, look at it philosophically here. Kirby talked about the fact that he's never had kids in the school system, but yet he always paid taxes. And yet you'd like to think that even when you don't have kids in the system, you should know that there's a return on your investment. And so that being said, what are we getting for our money? Well, we're getting last place. So then you have to look at, okay, why are we doing it the same way over and over and over again? And to Kirby's point, vouchers is one way. And what that basically means is a voucher system, if you're not familiar, means you pay money into the system, but the money, here's the philosophical point I was talking about. The money we pay in the system is not there to feed the system. The money is there to educate children. And so if that's the philosophy, if you look at it that way, if you look at it, if you're a big government person, if you're a teachers union person, then you're going to say, well, that money goes to the system because it pays for teachers and it pays for facilities and it pays for new basketballs and it pays for, you know, anyway, you see the point. But those things got us number 50. Philosophically speaking, many conservatives like myself believe that when we pay into the system, it's there to educate the child. Therefore, the child's needs must be met. And if the parents, the legal guardians who should have a say, determine that homeschooling is best, determine that private schooling is best, determined that a different public school is best. They should be allowed to see their tax dollars go with their child to where it is best in their own opinion. That's the deal. And a voucher system is basically like saying, here's your voucher, like here's your ticket to where you want to go. And then you take those tax dollars with you to where you want to go. And if that means homeschooling, it gives you the opportunity to resource that homeschooling. And if it is to a private school, you can use it to, you know, whatever level you're able to for the private school tuition. Or if it's to a different public school, they follow you to that public school. That's a good thing. Hey, listen, let me jump back on to the last portion of our Triple Dipper, because there's things happening around the world that I want to make sure y'all are aware of. So, you know, sitting here with my military background, I find myself caring a lot of times about what's happening that could impact military readiness, what's happening that could impact our national security policies. And I look at things like right now, are you tracking what's happening with Vladimir Putin, with Russia on the border of Ukraine? Are you aware of the fact, if you're not, please become aware now, that Vladimir Putin has massed 94,000, estimated 94,000 troops on the border with Ukraine. Now, just a few years ago, I think it was 8 years ago, Putin literally invaded and annexed the Crimean Peninsula, which was a huge chunk of Ukraine. It would be like somebody coming in and saying, we're now going to claim Florida because we believe it comes closer to being more like us than you. And that's what he did. He said, there are too many people of Russian descent living in Crimea, and they are not being taken care of. Therefore, we will annex. And they got away with it. And since then, he's been emboldened. An article right now I'm looking at from the Atlantic Council. All right, the Atlantic Council has a piece on national security issues related to, and they call it Vladimir Putin's Ukraine obsession. Sitting here reading it right now, and it points out that 14,000 people have died in the conflicts in Ukraine since Vladimir Putin's armies from Russia have invaded and taken over Crimea, and now he's massing these massive amounts of troops, causing a great deal of concern. The opinion of the Atlantic Council writer that I'm reading right now says that at this stage, it says, Russia's actions appear designated or designed to coerce the West into abandoning Ukraine. Much of this effort is focused explicitly on the United States, with a debate over a potential invasion predominantly taking place in the U.S. information space. They are hoping right now, because they're literally seeing what happened in Afghanistan, and they're believing that the Biden administration is not strong enough to stand up to Putin should the time, and Putin's a chess player. You know, I'm not a fan of Putin, but I'll give him credit like I would give any evil villain from a Bond movie credit. The man's a chess player, and I don't think Biden is. And Biden has now surrounded himself with people that want to issue papers that say that climate change is more important. It is not. And I've got another article here from the Washington Post. Washington Post. Threat of Russia invasion of Ukraine tests the Biden administration. Well, that's the Washington Post. That's the liberal rag called the Washington Post, the WAPO. It says the White House is reviewing options to deter a feared Russian invasion of Ukraine, including providing more military aid to Kiev, that's Ukraine, and threatening sanctions to dissuade Russian President Vladimir Putin from escalating the simmering conflict into a full-blown transatlantic crisis. You're talking about European warfare, the likes of which we have not seen since the Balkans. All right, and okay, oh, yay, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, appeared to this article, has embarked Monday on a trip to Europe. That's the same guy who oversaw the debacle in Afghanistan, by the way. Looking to consolidate a position among our NATO allies. Oh, good. Meanwhile, 94,000 troops on the border. At the same time, Kiev is actually seeking more aid. They're asking for additional air, missile, and drone defense systems, electronic jamming devices, counter-rocket and artillery fire, to help counter rocket and artillery fire. They need counter-battery fire. I'm just telling you, this is big doings, y'all. I got a caller about Russia on line four, so before the break, let me go ahead right now and grab Alan from Hartsel. Hey, Alan, Phil Williams from Rightside. How are you today?
I'm upright and breathing. How about you, sir?
I'm good, and I like it. How are you?
In 38 or 39, did Germany not do the same thing with Austria, so he'd have a jumping off place down into Poland and Czechoslovakia?
Absolutely. A lot of folks also miss, too, that the Nazis helped aid the Spanish Civil War, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then at the same time, he also backed Mussolini in Italy.
That's right. That's right.
And I just wondered, I didn't know whether, of course, I'm a history idiot anyway, or my late wife used to have an idiot about history. But I get to looking back at some of the things going on now, and dang if it ain't happening again.
I mean, yeah, and you're right. Those precursor conflicts, Alan, those precursor conflicts are the ones you got to watch because they lead to the bigger conflicts. You're exactly right.
That's
man.
The way it works. Have a great day. I thought I'd throw that in there and see what you had to say about it.
Yeah, good comments, Alan. Appreciate you. Thanks for being a history buff and a Right Side Ruffian. All right, folks, listen, we're going to wind up taking a short break right now. Let's do that, Yaffe. And we'll take that break and be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. A little bit more to go on national defense. Is your national security secure? You want to talk about it, call 866-494-9866. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, continuing this theme of national security. So, I mean, let's take a walk around the world a little bit here. So, let me run down a few things before we run out of time, just to make sure that I've had a chance to say it, because, you know, I've got it all in my hands, all the paper, but here's one. Ellen Mitchell reporting from The Hill on their overnight defense and national security hot sheet that comes out. The nuclear deal with Iran is still on the table. The U.S. and Iran on Monday held their seventh round of indirect talks. And the Biden administration is stressing that they want diplomacy with Iran to box in the nuclear ambitions and prevent Tehran from building a weapon of mass destruction. Okay, great. However, serious concerns right now, because the Republicans in D.C. and Israel, by the way, are saying that they remain firmly opposed to any further negotiations and the lessening of any sanctions. And right now, what we're very concerned about is that the Biden administration may very well attempt to lessen sanctions on Iran or create some kind of a deal, sort of like Obama did, where they just gave away the farm, pallets of cash, actually, and got nothing for it. And we're told most recently, by the way, that national security hawks are saying that Iran is literally, if they wanted to, they could step up their capabilities and be within weeks of having weaponized uranium. And I'm just saying, folks, this is where we are. Change of venue. Let's walk around the world for a minute. Taiwan. Taiwan right now has faced an additional 27 Chinese Air Force planes deliberately flying into their air defense zone. But it went to a new level. In this case, China not only had fighters and bombers coming into Taiwan's air defense zone, they also had an air refueler. That's an entire new level of operational capability. They had an air refueler come in with the fighters and do refueling operations inside Taiwan airspace. It was a complete flaunting of Taiwan's airspace for no other reason except intimidation. And Taiwan, though, is responding in The Hill. I'm looking at an article in The Hill dated yesterday. Taiwan is responding and saying, we can handle this. We've got the capabilities. Okay. But right now, the question remains, what would Biden do? So there's Ukraine. There's China and Taiwan. There's issues related to readiness that are looming right now, even within our own borders, because of the vaccine mandates. Article right here dated a couple weeks ago off the Air Force Times. You know, the operational readiness issues with regards to the vaccine mandates in the military, we've passed the deadline. Now, did the vast majority of the military get vaccinated? Yes. But here's a story right here. Rachel Cohen, writing for the Air Force Times, talks about the fact that at the last minute, there were 33 combat search and rescue airmen that finally opted to get their vaccines before deploying overseas. Folks, let me tell you something. It's one thing for them to say, we're going to be okay. Only 6% of the military or whatever has not been vaccinated. It depends on where they are. There's only 2,500 active duty Navy SEALs at any given time-ish, 2,500-ish. When you have a percentage of those, like several hundred we're hearing, that are refusing vaccinations, well, that's the equivalent of basically half a SEAL team, if I'm not mistaken, or at the very least several platoons. So you're looking at degrading the capabilities of certain key units. In this case, combat search and rescue, 33 search and rescue airmen, that's a chunk out of one unit that barely made it under the wire because they were holding out. Right now, they're saying an estimated 300,000 service members have not been vaccinated. 300,000. Well, we got a 1.4 million force. Yes, we do. 300,000 is a good chunk. All right, change the subject. Let's walk around the world for a minute. South Korea, North Korea. Seoul's government in South Korea is asking Biden to sign on to a policy that says that they will declare that there is peace and that we no longer have a declaration of war on the Korean Peninsula. Keep in mind, the Korean War was an end of, never had a full end of war declaration, all right? And they're trying to appease North Korea, which, by the way, North Korea, I had a story a few weeks ago, last time we did this walk around the world, North Korea is entering into a famine unlike any they've seen in over a decade. And it's a scary time for North Koreans. It's a scary time for those that surround North Korea because wars are started for less. And so what you want to watch now is a destabilized government trying to figure out a way to justify its existence in the eyes of people that are hungry. And so North Korea, once again, an issue. How about this one? This article came from, where was this from? I think this is from the Arabic League report. The Arab League report, pressure mounts on Syria and Russia over the use of chemical weapons. This story just out today, this morning. Syria and Russia face renewed pressure to come clean over the alleged chemical weapons use as global toxic arms body met in Hague on Monday. So you've got Russia has a physical presence in Syria assisting the Assad regime. Meanwhile, we have a physical presence in Syria. Meanwhile, we are aiding the Kurds. Meanwhile, the Kurds are at odds with our supposed allies, the Turks, and the entire region is being manipulated by Iran just north of the border of Iraq. Are you picturing all that? Can you imagine how any flashpoint could come up? Well, folks, all this and more. You be aware, more is in the news right now than you would imagine over national security. And yet, last report that I've got here, Fox News. The Pentagon says that China and climate change are equally important as national security threats. Wow. All right, folks, that's it for a day. But listen, it's been a great day. Take heart. Conservatives, there's more of us than there are of them. You got Mark Levin coming up next, the great one, and we'll be back tomorrow at 2. Thank you, Yaffe, for sitting in for Copper. Y'all have a great night.